VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, new information is constantly coming out pertaining to, the response to COVID and the shot. For instance, news just broke out of a Japanese professor who had an astonishing finding that one of the manufacturer's COVID shots contained the SV40 sequence, known as a promoter of the cancer virus. One would think all COVID shots are the same, but did you know there are variations in the COVID shots? There's other research that's come forth indicating that face masks may raise the risk of stillbirths, testicular dysfunction, and cognitive decline in children. And other matters are unfolding as well. For instance, a new vaccine has come out to protect against RSV. Are there any concerns with this? And what is this Marburg virus disease, MVD? Could this spread to the mass population? Do we need to rush out and get a shot for this? And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the upcoming May 21st through the 30th World Health Assembly rushing to pass a universal pandemic treaty. We've got to keep this world in fear, but the World Health Organization are the savior for all of this. Well, we've got much to unfold. Returning to Crosstalk, we welcome back Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, a nonprofit public charity. Since February of 2020, she's been part of the team of frontline physicians treating COVID early at home. With Dr. Peter McCullough, she is a co-author and editor of the Guide to COVID Early Treatment, Options to Stay Out of Hospital and Save Your Life. Dr. Valete is a 2014 Ellis Island Medal Honor recipient for her national and international educational efforts in health, wellness, and endocrine aging in men and women. She's a past director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She received her MD degree and internship in internal medicine at Eastern Virginia Medical School and completed special training at Johns Hopkins. She is speaking today as an independent physician, not as a spokesperson for any healthcare system or pharmaceutical company or insurance plan or political party. She is a patient advocate. And Dr. Valete, we welcome you back.
Thank you so much, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you. Such a meaningful platform to be able to integrate medicine and faith and health in a way that I hope helps your listeners realize we are physical, emotional, and psychological and spiritual organisms. We are designed by God to be that way. So we need to look at dampening down our fear from the fear-mongering in this world and trust the Lord doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And you and I like to bring people information that is helpful and hopeful and gives them the tools to carry out the enhancement of our health as God designed our body, not as the government's trying to alter it with gene therapy shots.
Right, indeed. And I mean, we've heard repeatedly, and this for some of this may seem like old news, but we heard from Anthony Fauci and from Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. We heard from President Biden more than once that the COVID-19 vaccines will protect them from infection and transmission. We know that is not true, total misinformation. But even in light of this, I saw a story on just the news reporting that the FDA has rejected a petition for administrative action from prominent medical researchers to order vaccine manufacturers to set the public record straight through revised labeling requirements on trial design results and adverse events. But Dr. Valete, it appears the FDA is not willing to do this at all.
No, because that's not what they have decided to do to abdicate their responsibilities to protect the public. They are basically in the pocket of Big Pharma and focused on these experimental mRNA shots. Jim, what your listeners need to understand is that it was a year ago, April, early May 2022, literally a year ago, that the FDA announced that they would not be requiring the manufacturers to disclose modifications in these transitioning of traditional vaccines into the mRNA technology They weren't going to require the pharmaceutical companies to disclose ingredients or do new clinical trials. So for people to know now, the FDA just backed away from its regulatory duties under the law, under its charter. And the public is not going to know what's in these new shots.
Mm-hmm. One would think that all COVID shots are the same, but are they?
No, they are similar, but they are not the same. And there are independent researchers worldwide that have been finding contamination in many of them. In fact, we've done interviews with Hedley Reese from the UK, who is a career expert in good manufacturing processes and proper distribution standards for all medicinal products, including vaccines. And he has been bringing out shocking data on the fact that they have just totally abdicated all good manufacturing practices that have been our traditional safety oversight for the safety of the medicines that are brought to the market for the public. It is staggering what is going on.
Hmm. Dr. Vliet, I know there's been breaking news recently of a Japanese professor that speaks of an SV40 sequence known as a promoter of the cancer virus. I know just there's a lot of information that still needs to come forth on this, but is this a real legitimate concern?
Oh, no question. In fact, this is new information on a particular sequence from this Japanese researcher. But we were doing programs in late 2020 and early 2021 about the fact that the COVID shots across the board could turn off P53 tumor suppressor gene. And that's one of the major protective mechanisms that God designed in the way we're made. It is a naturally occurring tumor suppressor gene. We have a number of them, but this P53 is critically important. And we were warning the people then in programs I was doing that these mRNA shots turn off, they alter the genes and turn off the tumor suppressor genes. That's one reason. We have over a 17,000% increase in cancer since the shots were rolled out. And that's just looking at some of the military data. The data across the rest of the population is even worse.
Is that due to lack of screenings or something else?
No, it's the alteration of the tumor suppressor genes by the COVID shots. No, the screening, people are still getting their screenings. Part of the problem is that these cancers as a result of the damage from the COVID shots are more aggressive and they have spread more rapidly, so they're not picked up as early as we traditionally have been doing because they spread so fast. I mean, I'm seeing patients who were diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Now, some of them are family members of patients of mine. A few have been patients who had no history and no risk factors for breast cancer, and suddenly now they've got stage 3 or 4 breast cancer in less than a year since their last mammogram. I've never seen that in my whole career.
My.
Never.
Well, we've also seen the news stories about declining fertility rates, escalating miscarriages. Is there a direct correlation between COVID or the shot and these stories that have been coming out?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Dr. Mike Yeadon brought these warnings to the public with Dr. Vodarg from Germany in October, November 2020 because of one factor they discovered then, and I'll give you your listeners the second factor in a moment. But they discovered that there were structural similarities between a critical protein called synthetin that is needed to establish a normal healthy placenta and the spike protein. So the spike protein structural similarities to synthetin ended up being one of the warnings Dr. Yeadon was giving people in the fall of 2020 that the shots could damage the development of a baby, the establishment of a placenta, so that the pregnancy can establish and the baby has the nourishment it needs. That has been shown to be catastrophically true and very damaging. In fact, there was a recent seminar that Dr. Naomi Wolf had with four experts, and one of the physicians said, I don't even see a normal placenta any longer. It's very chilling. Dr. Yeadon and Dr. Gilthorpe on our programs, the Vaccine Report, from our whistleblower reports we do every day, have been reporting on the drastic, catastrophic drop in live births across all of Western Europe, the highly vaccinated countries. 10 to 20% drop in live birth rates. That's devastating. That's a genocide. Because when you have a drop in the population that precipitous, you are not replacing the population and the people who are dying.
Well, that just echoes what I heard, you know, the clips from Bill Gates. If we do a real good job at vaccinations, we'll save lives and reduce the population.
Well, that has been his goal for the last 25 to 30 years. He's made no bones about it. And people criticize and say, well, this is just a conspiracy theory. No, it is not a theory at all. It is a conspiracy. But Bill Gates, in his narcissism, has to brag about what they're planning to do. So he's been giving talks on this. People just don't really believe it, because normal people can't wrap their minds around the fact that someone has intent to design a product that will kill people, kill and maim.
Friends, let me just share with you just a clip. Well, tell you what, I'm not going to have enough time before the break, but when we come after the break, just a montage of clips from Bill Gates saying those very things, and we'll get to that. But Dr. Vliet, just a few weeks ago, there was a story also from the Daily Mail indicating that face masks may raise the risk of stillbirths, testicular dysfunction, cognitive decline due to the buildup of carbon dioxide. And some doctors are describing this, you know, link between the mask and these issues as being legitimate. Others are saying, no, that is unlikely. Any comments on this issue?
I'll speak more to it after the break, but absolutely, it's highly possible. The masks are very damaging to put your body into a state of chronic oxygen deprivation. That's an inflammatory state, and it suppresses all sorts of functions, including the brain. So it's not just the things you mentioned. We've been screaming about that for the last 3 years. You cannot have people wear masks all day long like this. They build up too much carbon dioxide, and they decrease their oxygen, which is a major stress on the body.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, so we'll come back on this face mask issue. We're also going to be hearing the clip from Bill Gates, this montage of clips regarding vaccination and reducing the population. So stay with us. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. Our guest today, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. Their website, truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. More information to come. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did the animals that we see fossilized today live millions and millions of years ago?
Chris, according to evolution, they did, but I question that. First, note that most of the fossils are nearly identical to modern-day organisms. There are clams in the fossil record, and there are clams today. Maybe a little bit different, but still clams. Theologically, if the fossils died long ago, then what does that do to the biblical teaching that things were very good in the beginning? Did things die and experience pain before man, before God called things very good? No, in the beginning there was no death. It was Adam's sin which brought the wages of sin, which is death. If death existed before sin, then death is not the penalty for sin, and Christ's death paid no penalty. Chris, recent creation is absolutely essential, even to the salvation doctrine. As we go back to Genesis, we can get it right.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
Yeah.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today, we're talking COVID shots. We're talking about treatment. We're talking about, yes, even future pandemics. We'll be talking about some issues today, like even the Marburg virus disease. What is that, and should that be a concern? We'll be talking about some other issues as well. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeed is with us here today, President and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation, their website, truthforhealth.org. So we've got a couple things to catch up on here after the break, one of which we were just talking about, the mask and the issue of the carbon dioxide buildup. And you indicated you had some more information to share on that.
Well, yes. When you build up carbon dioxide, and actually within 2 minutes of putting on one of the surgical face masks or the cloth face mask, you can take an OSHA carbon dioxide detector. You can buy them on Amazon, but you can take a carbon dioxide detector and stick the probe under your mask, and within 2 to 3 minutes of the mask being on your face, you will be exceeding the concentration of carbon dioxide that is allowed in the workplace for workers to breathe in. And it's coming from your own exhaled carbon dioxide, which is then what you are rebreathing. In scuba divers, a rebreather that builds up carbon dioxide kills people. So it can be serious.
Yeah.
But chronically, when someone's wearing a mask 8 or 9 hours at work, and I still see people that are so incredibly unaware of the damage, they're wearing masks outdoors exercising
yes.
in Tucson, Arizona,
right.
when they're by themselves. And that puts even more stress on the heart and the brain because in the lungs, because you're building up carbon dioxide, you're exerting yourself, you need more oxygen, and your oxygen is declining. It's got to be one of the stupidest things I've ever seen people do. And yet they still do it 3 years later when we've been shown over and over, and the CDC even admits it now, the masks don't work to stop the viruses.
We continue to see individuals driving in their own vehicles by themselves with masks on.
I know. And using these cloth face masks and the surgical mask to stop a nanoparticle virus is like using a chain link fence as a mosquito net.
Well, this is why Dr. Fauci early on said they don't work, they don't mask up. I mean, he changed his tune very quickly.
Exactly, because it was designed to put people in fear mode, which is a tool of the enemy. You and I can talk from the biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
It is battering the spirits of people. It is beating them with day in and day out drumbeats constantly of fear.
So, friends, if you can keep people in fear, you can have control over them. And that's really what this is about, Doctor.
Exactly. And you also suppress the immune response when you've got people in fear. You're suppressing the immune response when you wear a mask all day and building up carbon dioxide and decreasing oxygen. So people wearing masks are getting sicker. And people who have gotten the COVID shots are getting sicker because that impairs your immune system. It's an acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And not only that, the masks are a breeding ground for bacteria and fungal infections. Children being forced to wear masks all day at school are having all kinds of skin outbreaks, brain damage, headaches, fatigue, sluggish thinking, declining school performance, declining work performance. I think that's partly why we are seeing so many more auto accidents. People driving with a mask on don't have sharp mental acuity because they have diminished oxygen and build up CO2. So it's not just the things that you mentioned. It's way broader than that.
Let me also, another catch up here from the last segment was this montage of clips from Bill Gates. Let's listen in because you'll hear him talk, and this is different media settings that he was in and different opportunities talking about the use of vaccinations to save lives and reduce the population.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services. We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
$10 billion over the next 10 years to make it the year of the vaccines. What does that mean exactly?
Well, over this decade, we believe unbelievable progress can be made, both inventing new vaccines and making sure they get out to all the children who need them. We could cut the number of children who die every year from about 9 million to half of that if we have success on it. And the benefits there in terms of reducing sickness, reducing the population growth, it really allows the society a chance to take care of itself once you've made that intervention.
But if we go back to the key metrics, which is, you know, what the foundation looks at on all its stuff, can we drop the number of children who die per year in half and get the reduction in sickness and population growth that comes with that? That is sort of front to mind all the time.
Yeah. We've seen now there's a type of foreign assistance for vaccines or for AIDS treatment that are incredibly effective. These are all about saving lives. And the good news is that as you make those breakthroughs, the population growth in the country goes down. These are all about saving lives.
That's just a brief montage here, Doctor. And every one of these talking about reducing sickness, and that's going to lead to reducing population growth. I mean, something doesn't add up there.
Well, of course not. And Bill Gates is a college dropout. Granted, he's the wealthiest man in the world, we're told. But he's a college dropout. He has no medical background. He has no scientific training. These are his personal beliefs about what's an ideal number for the planet, and that he's the person who should make it happen by killing enough people to reach his arbitrary goal. It's an arrogant, narcissistic, satanic attack on God's design of life. God is in design of the planet, and God is in control of it.
Mm-hmm.
God designed our bodies. Bill Gates doesn't need to assault God's design.
Dr. Vliet,
it's preposterous.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to move on to another issue here. We know that the COVID treatment protocols by hospitals, by the CDC, called for the use of remdesivir, and we understand that there is a remdesivir wrongful death case that's gained some traction, I believe, in California. What do we know about this?
Yes, I just interviewed Matt Tyson just recently, and I had interviewed last fall, in September 2022, the attorneys who filed the lawsuits against the hospitals in California. And actually, in the recent development in the case that Matthew Tyson and his group are bringing, they survived the motion to dismiss the lawsuit on the grounds that the individuals had immunity. And they were able to make the legal arguments that the judge accepted, and they survived the immunity challenge, and the case is moving forward. That is huge, that they've managed to survive the immunity provisions that the opposition, the defense, were trying to dismiss the case on those grounds. And that has to do with some unique aspects of California state law, as well as the particular aspects that they had crafted in their lawsuit. And for more on that, because it was a whole hour program with Matthew Tyson, I think it would be interesting for people to go check out on our website the whistleblower report, where we talk about surviving that immunity challenge.
True.
And the fact that the remdesivir case is going forward.
Truthforhealth.org, the website truthforhealth.org.
And they just click on the graphic on the homepage that says the whistleblower report, and it was last week's show. It was in the shows are every Monday through Friday, and so it's in the upper group. They're listed in reverse chronological order, so your listeners can go and check that out and learn more about those lawsuits.
It's a question that people often had: can they undo the effects of a remdesivir treatment? Can they undo the effects of a mRNA shot that they received. Is there anything they can do in that regard?
Well, those are hugely complex questions, but let's take them one at a time. The COVID shot damage can be undone if you get diagnosed quickly with what the particular damage is, because they cause different damage to different organ systems, and there are blood tests that I list in our vaccine injury treatment guide, and there are diagnostic imaging studies that are special protocols to pick up the spike protein and lipid nanoparticle inflammatory damage. All of that's listed in our vaccine injury treatment guide at truthforhealth.org, and you can click on the vaccine injury resources graphic on the homepage and it takes you immediately to all of those. So, yes, that's possible to do. But if your doctor isn't doing the blood test, let's say for D-dimer, and you don't know that you're developing micro blood clots, and suddenly you have a massive heart attack from the buildup of blood clots, or you have a massive stroke and you die, well, then obviously we can't undo that damage. But if people will just use the resources that we've made available and others have to get diagnosed as to what is causing the problem that you're experiencing from the COVID shots, there are many treatments available for it. I use a lot of hydroxychloroquine and also ivermectin and other medicines, as well as nutraceuticals and vitamins and minerals, hyperbaric oxygen. Some people are getting benefit from red laser light therapy. There are many options to recover on your roadmap to recovery, mm-hmm. and we've done programs on it. We've done the treatment guide, so that's available. Remdesivir tends to cause more problems if it doesn't cause death, which it can in more than half of the patients. If it causes kidney damage and it progresses too far, it's harder to undo that damage. Mm-hmm. People either end up on dialysis or they end up on the transplant list if it has progressed too far. If patients will wear a medic alert bracelet that says they cannot take remdesivir, they're allergic to remdesivir, Veklury, and some of the others that they're using in the hospital death protocol, and they can avoid getting it, that's the best prevention. If you find that a loved one is in the hospital and getting remdesivir, then the family needs to advocate to get it stopped as quickly as possible, because the damage increases after more than 5 days of use.
Hmm. Wow. Friends, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeed is with us here today, just seconds from a break, so we're going to take a break. We're still going to learn about a couple more things here, like this Marburg virus disease, and I know that there have been a number of questions that are on your minds. We'll give you opportunity also to be asking questions on phone here, so you can start formulating your questions. We'll open our lines just a little bit later, but format them in such a way you can get right to your question when we open the phone lines here today on the program. So stay with us. Again, the website, Truth for Health, that's F-O-R, truthforhealth.org. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeed, our guest today. She is the president and CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. We'll be back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
From film producer Dave Cristiano comes the Christian film, Always a Winner. It follows the challenges and conflicts faced by a girls' golf team at a Christian high school. Always a Winner unfolds many key themes on pride, arrogance, relationships, forgiveness, and standing for life.
You can't get an abortion. Yes, I can. No, you can't. I have to. No, you don't. Baby's not very far along. The baby was a baby at conception. You can't kill your baby. Hannah, this is not your problem.
The 85-minute DVD, Always a Winner, is available for a donation of $18. And through May 31st, you may receive additional copies going to the same address for a donation of just $10 more for each additional copy. For Always a Winner, call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking today about COVID shots and treatment and future pandemics and all these issues. So we've got more information to unfold here in the next several minutes before we open phone lines for you to call in with your questions. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valete, our guest here today. And Dr. Valete, we've been seeing some stories coming out pertaining to our food supply and using mRNA to be introduced into food supply, whether it be meats, whether it be that of leafy vegetables like lettuce and so forth. Is this just is this rumor? Is it a conspiracy theory, or is there truth to this?
Well, I think we can take Bill Gates at his word. He is very clear about what he thinks needs to be done, and they are justifying the mRNA contamination of our food supply by pushing the mRNA vaccines into animals, pigs, chickens, cows, sheep, goats, all of the sources of food, animals as food that are raised for food, and their milk, in the case of goats and cows in particular. And you are looking at the fact that they're telling us this is what they think is necessary. You know, they lie about it, Jim. They say, oh, well, this is the latest technology that we want to use to protect the animals from bird flu, which is nonsense. The way that proper animal husbandry has always been executed, and you can have some experts on to talk about that, is that if there is a flock of chickens, egg-laying hens have been their big target. If there's a flock of chickens and a bird or a few birds get sick, you isolate the few birds. You don't slaughter the whole herd because the whole herd has there's a different genetic makeup for different animals. And so some of the animals, just like humans, are going to be the survivors. And you want to select for those that are resilient and that will survive the viral illness, just like should be the case in the way it was done for people. It wasn't done that way. They did the opposite of that. But my point is, they're basic principles that we've always used, and they are throwing those out and pretending they don't exist. And they're telling us, well, we think that the animals need this new technology to protect them. That's hogwash. They know it's not protective. They know it's another way to surreptitiously alter the animal's genome, which then contaminates them with spike proteins and the mRNA and the lipid nanoparticles and all the other garbage that has been found to be in these shots. And so it's just another way to get it into people and cause harm, maim, and kill.
You know, it's shocking, and perhaps this is a reason why we're seeing such an attack on the small family farms and having the big conglomerates, you know, to more effectively put this into use. Let me, for sake of time here, introduce us to MVD, Marburg Virus Disease. What exactly is this? Is there concern that this is going to spread across the nation? Do people need to go out and somehow get a shot for this? What is this?
Absolutely not. Marburg is the latest fear-mongering that they're trying to gin up to push people into yet another experimental gene therapy shot. Marburg is a very rare example of the hemorrhagic fevers. We have a fact sheet on this on our website. Click on, go to toothforhealth.org, click on medical and legal help on the homepage, and then click on medical fact sheets, and you'll see our fact sheet, hemorrhagic fevers, Marburg, and Ebola. And these are highly infectious, severe viral illnesses that have over 20 different viruses in the group, and all that's included. But the thing for your listeners to understand, if a virus is highly lethal, as Ebola and Marburg are in their limited outbreaks that have occurred over the last 40 years, and they're very limited, and they tend to be in areas in Africa, first of all, that are remote, so you don't really have good information coming back to the rest of the world, and it's ripe for corruption and misrepresentation. and deception. But also, they've been very limited because viruses like that that have a death rate over 60% are killing people before it spreads. And these viruses spread by direct contact with contaminated body fluids of sick people, saliva and respiratory mucus, for example, blood, vomit, stool, vaginal secretions, and semen. So you have to have direct contact with a sick person when they are in that viremia phase with symptoms in order to risk being infected. It's not spread as aerosolized droplets like flu and colds are. So that you need to understand. And secondly, when a virus has such a high death rate quickly, then you don't spread it the way that has happening to people with flu outbreaks and the coronavirus outbreak. Now, there were other factors that contributed to the spread of the COVID-19 illness because they suppressed early treatment. Wuhan, China, was sending infected people out on planes all over the world while they locked down domestic flights. There were some things that were done deliberately that made COVID-19 spread more quickly. But that is not the same situation with Marburg. And I want your listeners to understand, we have effective medicines for treatment. And these are all laid out in our fact sheet. It's too much to go into today. But we have treatment options. Military has used them. They are available as FDA-approved medicines, albendazole, mebendazole, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin can be used in these situations. But again, you have to treat early. We are not really at risk in the United States unless the government does something deliberate to bring in infected people and trigger a spread.
My. Friends, let's open our phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Those of you who regularly listen to Crosstalk, you know, yesterday we spent the full program dealing with the upcoming World Health Assembly and this matter of this, the giving the control, surrendering our sovereignty to the World Health Organization and this pandemic treaty that we're looking that our president's looking to be a signer onto this. So we can't go into all the nuts and bolts of this, but I know, Dr. Ville, you are very concerned about this treaty and for the U.S. to become a party to it.
Absolutely, because it will totally demolish any semblance of medical freedom. And if people listening, if you think the COVID lockdowns were bad and if you were frightened by lack of access to medications and loved ones being trapped and killed in the hospitals on these death protocols with the government bounties, paying the hospitals to use protocols they knew were killing people, then that was only a dry run for even worse if we as the people of America allow the Biden administration to give away American sovereignty in that WHO pandemic treaty. You will have no medical freedom. Your doctors will not be allowed to even do what we were able to finagle a way to do during COVID. This is devastating damage. And once it is signed, if the U.S. does not get pressured by the people of this country to exit the WHO and not be subject to this international pandemic agreement, trying not to call it a treaty because that would require the U.S. Senate to be involved, and they're trying to bypass the Senate and just get it done by the executive branch. We, the people, must stand up and demand that the United States exit the World Health Organization. Go to www.sovereigntycoalition.org, sign a declaration, and look at the action steps where you can get involved in your community to help stop the takeover of every choice we have ever had in medicine.
Again,
and
Trent,
to live our lives.
That's Sovereignty Coalition, sovereigntycoalition.org. And you'll find it there. Also, go back to crosstalkamerica.com. Listen to that full interview yesterday. Our lines are packed. Milbank, South Dakota. And Steve, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. When the discussion is being made about the explosion of cancer, that is being attributed to the mRNA vaccines, well, so-called vaccines, after they had to change the definition of vaccine for it to fit, that mm-hmm. kind of disqualified that term. But I have been told, and by what I consider reliable sources, that the test, the swab that they wanted to swab your blood-brain barrier with, was sterilized with a known brain carcinogen, which to me says they have a binary program. Plant the seed, inject the accelerant, and then claim to have nothing to do with your death from cancer.
Okay. Any comment on that, Doctor?
Well, I cannot personally vet the statement that you made about the swab being contaminated in the way you described. But we know there's good scientific documentation of the fact that the mRNA gene therapy shots turn off the tumor suppressor genes that were part of our God-designed immune system. So that alone, plus this immune suppression, plus the chronic inflammation that the shots create in our bodies, all of those factors accelerate the growth of cancers and prevent our natural surveillance mechanisms from taking place. So I don't think there's any question but that there's a direct connection between the shots and the skyrocketing cancers. You have to look at the data that confirms that, because this skyrocketing cancer of aggressive cancers across all types of cancers did not emerge until after the shots were rolled out.
Thank you, Steve. We're going to move on to Tina in Sun City, Arizona. Tina, you're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Elizabeth, I have just a couple questions to ask you. Number one, can we make the argument, my body, my choice, as the abortionists also throw out there? And two, why don't they list the ingredients to these vaccines, and just like they do with a McDonald's cheeseburger or something else that they're trying to pump into our bloodstream, that they can list these ingredients so we could see them or how they make them or where they come from?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the answer to the why is simply they have a plan to be deceptive. And I think we clearly said the FDA decided to not hold the manufacturers accountable to list the ingredients. They don't want you to know what's in them. Second point is with the cancer question, is back to what we said. The goal of these shots is to cause damage. And you heard the clip from Bill Gates. Decrease the population using vaccines to do it.
We got to take a break here. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Recently, I had on two members of the South Dakota State Legislature, a rancher, and Margaret Byfield, who's an expert on the confiscation of America's farmland by the cultural Marxists, the globalists, those committed to the Great Reset of Klaus Schwab, which is a coalition of big government and big business. South Dakota is, well, on the firing line of protecting private property rights. But this is going on in many states, so pay attention. What's it about in South Dakota right now? Putting down pipe to capture carbon, a carbon pipeline. And they're trying to use eminent domain to take the property of about 200 farmers. There are many problems with this. Not only the issue foremost of private property, but then the danger of these pipelines. Not to mention, this is a gigantic scam on the taxpayer, and it needs to be exposed. Stay tuned.
You know, the previous caller also brought up this issue of my body, my choice, and as a means to refuse this, well, you know, it seems to work with promoting a pro-abortion cause, but somehow they discount it when it relates to this matter. Sad indeed. Dr. Elizabeth Lee Valeed is with us today. Truthforhealth.org is her website. We've got Jim, who's been holding the longest in Appleton, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jim.
Yes, thank you. What comes to mind is Scripture. Satan is the god of this world. He's the father of lies. So when they say, you know, follow the science, and then this lady and Michelle Bachman yesterday, they give you the correct, clear, concise science, and they don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. So their father is the father of lies. He's the devil, so they're just basically doing his work, and they love death. Mm-hmm. That's their game. Thank you for bringing this to light. We do need to expose the darkness, and just God bless you and your host today. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call. Carlos in San Diego, California. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. My question to Dr. Lee is, my daughter got accepted into nursing school, and they're requiring her to get the COVID shot. And up to this point, we've been able to skirt around the issue and not get the vaccination. I really don't want her to get the vaccination. But is there a lesser of the different kinds of COVID vaccinations? Is there a lesser of all of them that have been proven to have the least adverse effects?
Dr. Valeed.
I don't recommend any of them. And it is illegal for the nursing schools, private employers, illegal across the board to mandate an experimental COVID shot, period. And there are legal exemption letters, sample ones, that are on our website, truthforhealth.org. You can go to VaxChoice, V-A-X-X. choice.com. Many legal options to help you. And I absolutely am very concerned about a young woman getting a COVID shot. It damages the ovaries and may permanently damage her ability to have children. It is very serious. You need to continue to stand against that. If she gets sick with COVID, she's not at risk of dying as a young person, unless she has lung disease. And then, if that's the case, you get early treatment.
Thank you for the call, and thank you for your question this afternoon. Brenda in Livingston, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Yes, doctor. My question is for the antiviral named Paxlovid, I believe it is, and it's given in the first few days of COVID.
Yes, let me stop you right there when we are short on time. Paxlovid has a lot of serious risk, a lot of bad drug interactions. There are much safer options. Please go to our website and look up the fact sheet on all the risks with Paxlovid. I have not prescribed it. I won't prescribe it.
Okay. Thank you, Brenda. Holly in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Valeed. I had a question about the field of epigenetics and how if that can be used to combat some of the consequences that have arose as a result of these, basically what they did, right, using epigenetic information to turn off cancer-suppressing genes and things like that. Is there some kind of epigenetic factors, whether that be nutrition or something of that sort that we could use to combat this?
We've got a whole list of options in our vaccine injury treatment guide that apply to COVID illness, 5G radiation exposure, and the COVID vaccine. Take a look at that 20-page guide. It's user-friendly, layman's language, simple to use, and it's your roadmap to recovery.
And that's at truthforhealth.org.
Exactly right. On the homepage, click on vaccine resources.
Great. Thank you, Holly. Mike in Texas, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, doctor. Two quick questions. Number one, is the MRC5 ingredient in the Myrna shot, mRNA?
I'm sorry, say that again.
MRC5. Is that one of the ingredients in the shot? I was told it is, and do you know what that is?
I can't answer that question without going back to double check the ingredients. There's such a long list.
Okay, well, the MRC5 is an aborted male fetus of 3 months old. Okay, and I don't know if you knew that or not. The other quick question I had for you, why is there absolutely no accountability in the medical field for this genocide that's going on?
Because the courts are not following the rule of law, and we, the people, have not stood up to demand accountability. We need more people standing up and joining all of these organizations that have been fighting these battles. The courts are dismissing many of the cases. And so the courts are corrupt, and the executive branch is lawless and out of control. And this is a spiritual battle that is biblical proportions. And it's going to take prayer, it's going to take citizen action, and standing against tyranny, and standing in God's strength, not just our own.
Hmm. Thank you, Mike, for the call. We have run out of time here for additional calls and questions. I understand, Dr. Valit, you do a regular weekly program where you do take questions, though.
Yes, Cloud Hub, Vax Choice Channel, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern. We have a live Q&A broadcast, and it's called Ask Dr. Valit. And we are talking about hormones, health, and resilience, and threats to freedom each Friday.
Dr. Valit, we have just half a minute left. What would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Get on your knees and pray for God to strengthen us and put on the armor of God as we stand against evil.
Indeed, indeed. Well, we appreciate, I know you've got a busy practice, and then also the Truth for Health Foundation. We thank you for carving out the time, Doctor, to join us here on the broadcast today.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me anytime.
And friends, just a reminder, as we have so often said here on Crosstalk, don't live in fear. That is an aspect of control that is part of that today, to keep everybody afraid of what's taking place in our society today. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.